This podcast is a presentation of University of California Television. Like what you hear? Consider making a donation at uctv.tv/donate so we can continue to bring you more great programs.
Our next speaker panel is on serving immigrant clients, family perspectives on the challenges and the solutions. And for this panel, I want to let you know that we're going to be utilizing a language interpreter. At the bottom of your Zoom bar, of the toolbar, you will need to select a language preference, either English or Korean. And even if you want it in English, you need to select English in order to hear the panel in your preferred language. At the end of the session, we'll once again adjourn to breakout sessions, and this panel will be hosting a breakout room if you'd like to continue your conversation with them or meet and greet any number of our other resource providers and participants for conversation about the conference and services and supports. This panel is going to be moderated by our previous Shriver Award winner, Judy Mark, the president of Disability Voices United, an organization directed by and for people with disabilities and their families. DVU advocates for choice and control over our lives, meaningful outcomes that matter to us, and systems that are equitable and accountable to us. Judy's led efforts in California to enact disability rights laws on issues ranging from probate, conservatorship reform and supported decision making, self-determination and systems accountability. And she has, in her previous life, spent over 30 years with national policy organizations, most extensively focusing on immigrant and refugee rights. So she's a great person to lead this panel, to moderate this panel, and I'll leave it to her.
Thank you so much, Clarissa. It's so wonderful to be back here at the UCSF conference. And I'm not going to speak a lot. I'm personally not an immigrant. And so this is a very critically important session today. And we're going to be hearing from parents who are immigrants who are going to tell you about how their culture interfaces with the different systems that to help their children who, and they're all parents of children with developmental disabilities. So we're going to start with Elizabeth Gomez. Elizabeth is a parent of two children served by regional centers, and she'll tell you a little bit more herself. But she's also the director and co-founder of the Integrated Community Collaborative, which works primarily with Spanish-speaking families to help them navigate systems. And take it away, Elizabeth.
Hi, good morning, everyone. First, I'd like to say thank you to Judy Mark for inviting me to share my perspective as a parent here in this panel. And I'm also very just overwhelmed by the amount of information that this conference has provided. So it gives me the opportunity to share a little bit about myself. So thank you. So I am a mother of two young adults served by the regional center system. My oldest son has Down syndrome, and my youngest son is on the autism spectrum. So I am also going to share my perspective, not only as a parent, but also as having had the opportunity to be the director of the Integrated Community Collaborative and also consider myself an integradora. Also has given me the opportunity to not only share this morning on my personal experience, but also of many people that we help and support in the community. So the ICC is a parent-to-parent organization. It's a nonprofit that helps the Latino community navigate the complex systems of support. Specifically, the regional center systems is where we spend a lot of our time, but we also support families in other meetings, like in the school districts or even other other systems that they are navigating. But what brings me to my conversation today is to share with you the during these times that our community is going through this difficult situation, specifically the Latino community is impacted completely with a lot of the immigration situations currently affecting them, the tremendous amount of fear that is affecting the families is very concerning to us. And mostly because as we are, what we're seeing is we're seeing that families are staying in home. They're not really allowing a lot of their children to be in the community. They're afraid of mostly being separated from them. And most of our families are have children who are actually US citizen, who should be able to and have the right to engage and have all the services that they're entitled to. But for the reasons that I'm discussing with you, what we're seeing today is actually something that is impacting them a lot. It is very heartbreaking because we know that they need the services. We know that they are in need of even more supports now more than ever. But instead, what we see is that they're actually not accessing the services. So I want to tell you a little bit more about what we do. So at the Integrated Community Collaborative, we attend meetings with them. We go to their IPP meetings, like I said, and we also go to other things like IHSS meetings or even school meetings, the IEPs. So when we do that, we are able to navigate with them and experience firsthand a lot of the challenges that they're facing. So one of the things that is happening is that they're not having the access to services as well because there's a lot of system barriers that we have been navigating with them. As they take the courage to actually do come to these meetings and ask for the supports, these families are faced with a lot of denials for the services, and they're actually even asked to go and look into all the generic resources and come back once you bring me some denials of services that you went and apply somewhere else. This makes it very difficult for our families because they're already experiencing all the stress, and then having to go through all these steps that they have to do before they can actually access services makes it that they actually decide and opt, to just not continue with the process. So because of this, we are experiencing a magnitude of problems, but this is not new. Of course, we know that disparities have always existed, and we know that disparities exist for our families and always have impacted mostly. Disparities affect the minorities, but mostly the Latino community. So I have to share with so apologize for this. I have to share with you that in navigating the systems of support with them, I don't know if you could hear that, that was fine. Okay, so as we navigate the systems of support with them, and we try to engage in conversation and helping them access the services, the part that I think is more difficult for us is how do we maintain the clients with all the services that they're entitled to receive, and at the same time walk them through all the paperwork and all the process and the denials. So this is one of the concerns that we have right now, Judy. And I just want to also say that the in addition to that, when we've come to request also support for issues like the support that should be given to them for immigration and things like that, they also don't find any other supports. So again, I believe that the Latino community has for many years been asking for support and for help, but it's not really as easy for them to find the resources. So as the integradoras work with the families, one of the things that we have found is that that peer-to-peer model is really one of the possible supports and solutions, but it's not also available to many of them. So we hope that in the future we could see a little bit more of not just giving people information, because information is good, but the families are really needing a lot more than just information. They need a system they can trust. They need families need a person that they feel that relates to them culturally and even language, issues. So because of that, we believe this is the best way to support them. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Elizabeth. Really important points that you make, and we're going to get some questions going after. I would now like to introduce Kyungshul Choi. Kyungshul is the founder of the Korean STP Network. STP stands for Self-Determination Program. And Kyungshul is going to be speaking in Korean. And a reminder to everyone to go down to the bottom of your screen, click on the globe that says interpretation. You might have to click on more to find it. And when you click on interpretation, if you are an English speaker, you'll need to click on English in order to hear the simultaneous interpretation for Kyungshul. Go ahead, Kyungshul.
네, 안녕하세요, 여러분. 제 이름은 최경실입니다. 저는 자폐가 있는 성인 아들의 어머니이며 한국 이민자 커뮤니티에서 부모들과 함께 활동하는 옹호자입니다. 오늘 저는 한 어머니의 이야기를 들려드리며 시작하고 싶습니다. 얼마 전 저는 한국에서 전문직으로 일하던 고학력 어머니에게 전화를 받았습니다. 그 어머니는 리저널 센터에서 받은 IPP 문서를 들고 울고 계셨습니다. 그리고 저에게 이렇게 물었습니다. 문장은 읽을 수가 있어요. 그런데 이게 무슨 뜻인지 전혀 모르겠어요. 제가 무지한 엄마인가요? 그 어머니는 전혀 무지하지 않습니다. 단지 언어의 장벽을 훨씬 넘어서는 거대한 미로 같은 시스템 속에서 길을 잃고 있었을 뿐입니다. 오늘 저는 여러분과 같은 의료 전문가들에게 그 미로 속에 숨겨진 실제 장벽이 무엇인지를 말씀드리고자 이 자리에 섰습니다. 많은 분들은 이민자 커뮤니티의 가장 큰 장벽이 단순히 언어라고 생각합니다. 그러나 저는 오늘 세 가지 더 깊은 층의 장벽을 말씀드리고 싶습니다. 첫째는 정보 접근의 불균형입니다. IPP가 번역되어 있다 하더라도 그것을 이해하는 것은 매우 어렵습니다. 서비스 코드, 예산 구조, 메디칼 재심사 과정은 전문가가 아닌 사람에게는 마치 암호처럼 보입니다. 문장을 읽는 것과 자신의 권리를 이해하는 것은 전혀 다른 일입니다. 둘째는 문화적 권위의 구조입니다. 한국 문화에서는 의사나 사회복지사가 존중해야 될 권위에 있는 존재로 여겨집니다. 그래서 사회복지사가 이것이 가장 좋은 방법입니다 라고 말하면 부모님들은 고개를 숙이며 감사합니다 라고 말하는 경우가 많습니다. 그러나 그 침묵 속에는 많은 질문들이 삼켜져 있습니다. 이 서비스가 우리 아이에게 맞지 않는 것 같은데, 이 결정에 동의하지 않는데, 셋째는 불이익에 대한 두려움입니다. 부모님들은 이렇게 걱정합니다. 제가 너무 많은 질문을 해서 관계가 나빠지면 스스로 보호할 수 없는 내 아이에게 돌아가는 불이익이 있지 않을까? 이렇게 이것은 단순한 성격의 문제가 아닙니다. 아이를 보호하려는 절박함 속에서 나온 문화적 갈등입니다. 최근 몇년 동안 이민자 커뮤니티는 더욱 조용해졌습니다. 정부 기관과 연결되는 것이 정말 안전한 일인지 확신이 부족하기 때문입니다. 많은 부모들은 밤에 잠을 이루지 못합니다. 아이들을 위해 공적 지원을 받는 것이 영주권 심사에 불이익이 되지는 않을까? 또는 가족을 만나러 해외에 갔다가 돌아오는 길에 국경에서 문제가 생기지 않을까 걱정합니다. 그들에게는 리저널 센터도 학교도 모두 정부입니다. 이 두려움 때문에 부모들은 차별을 경험하더라도 숨을 죽이고 서류 하나를 제출하는 것조차 망설이게 됩니다. 그렇다면 통역사를 제공하면 문제가 해결될까요? 저는 그렇지 않은 경우를 많이 보았습니다. 통역사가 부모를 낮추어 보거나 부모의 말을 왜곡하는 상황을 목격했습니다. 이것은 서비스 승인에 영향을 줄뿐 아니라 가족의 존엄성까지 무너뜨립니다. 우리는 단순히 말을 전하는 사람을 원하지 않습니다. 우리가 원하는 것은 신뢰의 다리입니다. 우리 아이의 삶을 현실을 정확하게 전달하고 우리 가족의 목소리를 존중해주는 사람입니다. 여러분의 전문성이 실제로 이민자 가족에게 전달되기 위해서 저는 세 가지를 제안합니다. 첫째, 문화적 역량을 단순히 교육이라는 것이 아니라 구조로 만들어야 됩니다. 데이터를 측정해야 합니다. 아이의 실제 필요에 따른 서비스의 승인율, 서비스 제공자에 대한 만족도, 그리고 이민 가족들의 항소율들을 측정해야 합니다. 측정되지 않은 것은 개선될 수 없습니다. 둘째, 커뮤니티 안으로 들어와 주십시오. 부모들이 장애 정책이나 서비스에 대해서 궁금할 때 먼저 찾는 것은 목사님이나 지역 리더, 그리고 서로에게 묻습니다. 정확하고 전문적인 정보가 이러한 커뮤니티 중심으로 직접 전달될 수 있도록 교육 프로그램을 강화해 주십시오. 셋째, 침묵을 동의로 해석하지 마십시오. 질문하지 않는 부모는 무관심이 아니라 깊은 두려움일 수 있습니다. 먼저 손을 내밀어 주십시오. 그리고 이렇게 물어봐 주십시오. 혹시 걱정되는 것이 있으신가요? 존중과 경청의 태도로 질문해 주십시오. 우리 아이들의 부모는 소수 이민자일 수 있지만 우리 아이들은 이 시스템에서 다른 환자와 동일한 권리를 가진 개인입니다. 이 부모들은 매일 경제적, 언어적, 문화적 장벽 속에서 조용하지만 치열하게 싸우고 있습니다. 저는 여러분들이 이 외로운 싸움 속에서 따뜻한 동반자가 되어 주시기를 부탁드립니다. 소수 커뮤니티의 장애인들이 자신의 삶을 스스로 설계하고, 스스로 결정하고, 의미와 존엄을 가진 하루하루를 살아갈 수 있도록 저희들을 지지해 주십시오. 감사합니다.
Thank you so much. I noted so many similarities between the concerns that Kyungshil has and the concerns that Elizabeth has with two completely different immigrant communities. And we're now going to hear from a third immigrant community, from Mulugeta Tsedele, who is also a parent of a child served by a regional center and is a leader in the Ethiopian community and has started so many programs, I can't even list them all. So hopefully, you can explain some of it. Go ahead, Mulugeta.
Good morning. I'm going to start reading my story, my autism story. My autism story begins on November 13, 2000, in Los Angeles, California. At around 2 p.m., my son Emmanuel entered the World at Good Samaritan Hospital in downtown Los Angeles. I stood by my wife's side the entire time, steady but not ner but nervous, as her sisters encouraged me to watch the miracle unfold. Witnessing the birth was overwhelming. Emmanuel arrived weighing a healthy 7 pounds, a perfect bundle of joy. In that moment, all was well. The love and connections we felt were immediate and profound, filling the room with the sense of hope and possibility. There's a well-known essay in the autism community called Welcome to Holland, which compares the experience of raising a child with autism to landing in an unexpected country. But for me, those words didn't resonate at Emmanuel's birth. There wasn't any sense of having arrived somewhere unfamiliar or unplanned. Instead, there was only a pure happiness of meeting my son for the first time, without any thought of what challenges the future might hold. In that moment, there was simply no space for worry or metaphors, just the reality and wonder of a new life. The exhaustion I felt after 9 months of uncertainty and hardship engulfed me. The pregnancy had been a journey filled with worry, sleepless nights, and the weight of not knowing what each day will bring. As Emmanuel was placed in our arms, a wave of relief mingled with the pure fatigue, making the joy even more poignant. That day began with bright sunshine, but by the afternoon, light rain fell and steady wind drifted in from the Santa Monica Mountains. The shifting weather seemed to echo with my emotions, a blend of warmth, relief, and vulnerability with change in the air. The gentle rain outside mirrored the tear of joy and exhaustion inside the delivery room as our lives quietly transformed with Emmanuel's arrival. Later, I slipped out of the hospital and onto Wilshire Boulevard, the big Wilshire Boulevard, my shoes splashing lightly on the rain-washed sidewalk. The city felt different, new, alive, full of possibility. Each drop of rain seemed to cleanse the last remnants of doubt. My hands still tingled with the memory of Emmanuel's grip. I promised myself, beneath the gray sky, to walk with him. Wherever our paths would lead, no matter how winding or unfamiliar, in that moment, I didn't know how far the journey would take us, or the words would eventually learn together. Autism, acceptance, resilience, but the feelings that took root in me, love, awe, and unwavering commitment, became the compass that would guide me through every challenge for a lifetime and beyond. This is my life story. I want to bring you guys to this space where service providers, medical doctors, organization leaders, we have to be one in one place so that we can talk about how to maximize resources, how to help each other, how to understand what autism is about, how any and every challenge look alike. So I'm inviting you to be in that space. And right now I'm trying to mention some of the challenges, what we have with the solutions. But first I'm going to introduce to you. My name is Mulugeta and I'm working with the Father's Shadow. We have a group called Father's Shadow that is going to help us bring fathers to this mix. As you know, 90% of the time, mothers are the ones who are dealing with this. So we are trying to teach ourselves, help each other to become a responsible partners. And we have a support group also. And some of the parents created this support group, and we're working to for emotional support and resources. And in church, we created a St. Jared Sunday class with 7 kids. And we're trying to integrate our kids to the congregation, and we are trying to be a big part of that church. And they allowed us to be a part of that. And also on the charity wing of the church, I'm working around homelessness, mental health, and community health. And also I'm a community organizer. So here are the challenges. Most of the time, you heard from group other representative. We have a problem with language, education, culture, overcoming stigma, and relationship with service providers. So the challenge is, we have Amharic language. That language is not developed. And whenever we are trying to translate, a lot of things will miss. At the same time, a lot of people doesn't speak English, so it's really hard for them to go to IEP meeting, IPP meeting, and understand every material we're sending towards them. So the solution is, try to find a community, a focus group where we can translate all those things that is acceptable for the community leaders and members. Education, we can try to create support groups also for people to be educated so that they can understand and bring their kids as early as possible. The culture, the challenge where people consider having an autistic son as a punishment from God. So people doesn't bring their kids to the forefront because, that is like showing people that I'm sinned. I did something bad. And it's because of that, a lot of people are not coming to the service as early as possible. So we miss the early intervention. So solution is try to train the trainers, train the church elders, train the restaurant owners, train the group leaders, informal leaders, so that people can understand what autism is all about. And the other thing is the relationship what we have with service providers, the law enforcement. Last time I remember on a Black Lives Matter, I was coming from the laundry and cops stopped me and my son was screaming and, it was almost, I was sure that, somebody's going to shoot me at that time. So I was praying and hopefully the guy who come on my side understand what's going on. And he told the other guy, so that saves our life. So we have to have a relationship. We have to work with other community members regarding that. So we are trying to access resources with the community. That's pretty much it. Most probably, I'm going to just, talk to you during a question and answer session. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much. I saw so many similarities between all three statements, and very different immigrant communities.
You've been listening to a podcast by University of California Television. For more information about this program or UCTV, visit us online at uctv.tv.